Glory to God. Thank you so much for joining us, people. We love you. We worship God that you are part of this night and that you're going to learn and grow, that God's on the move and God is imparting as fast as he can the information that we need. It is so important, people. I'm hoping that I'm challenging you, that if you really love your children, you're going to do right by them. And if you really love God, you're going to do right by him. And all of us are being held and called into accountability. Tonight is a very interesting night, as you will see. It's a little tiny bit different. We're still on track. I am going to open up and then I'm going to play a very quick little link for you. And I think, you know, what's really interesting, people, it's I am a very accountable person to God, especially in what I teach, you know. And God, I ask God for confirmation. He's giving it to me from a few places that are very, these ministers I really respect. And they're it's incredible. Some of them are literally verbatim teaching what I'm trying to teach you guys. Okay. And you have to understand just real quickly. I know I'm a woman. I know sometimes as men, you have an issue, you know, with the fact that why is she teaching us the part of the man? And that's a very good point. The reason being is that I became an avid learner of what was happening in our own home, how it transpired. I am in the spirit realm. There's no male nor female. And if you're wise, just listen to the Spirit of God. You don't have to, you know, be my supporter or anything, but listen to the Spirit of God, because remember, a prophet, Balaam, was saved and spared by a donkey. I am a little bit more than a donkey. I am a daughter of the King, and I've been called to minister. So that's why I'm stepping out in this place. And I think God is very smart, people, because if you have a woman teaching what the man is supposed to be in the high position he carries with God and in his home, then the women can't argue against it. It's not misogynist. It's not chauvinistic. This is just the word of God. Amen. So I see the brilliance of God giving me this assignment. And I have a heart for your families. I have a heart for you. I don't want you to suffer in your relationship. Suffering in a relationship can be a very crippling thing in life, period. As we've all experienced. All of us have. Amen. So let me play for you the little link right here. Help me.
Has leveled all of the artillery of hell against the home, and he wants to break up your home. Now, there's some today who say, well, I'm going to get a divorce. I've got a good reason for getting a divorce. They say, you know, and I've heard this too many times, the love has gone out of our marriage. Friend, that will not pass by the judgment of God, that the love has gone out of your marriage. You see, it is not love that holds your marriage together. It is marriage that sustains your love. And love is not some emotion that you feel. It is a choice of the will. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives. That's not a suggestion. That is a command. What kind of a God would command me to do something I cannot do? Suppose God tells me, Adrian, jump over this church building. I can't jump over this church building. Therefore, God would not command me to do it unless somehow he enabled me to do it. And when the Bible says that husbands are to love their wives, that is a command from God. And behind every command of God is the omnipotent power of God to carry out that command.
Praise God. The point being here, obviously, is that if God is asking you to do something, he's going to give you the power to accomplish it. Amen. So we're not on our own. Now, I will tell you tonight, there's a quite a bit of the exhorters ministry coming out. God led me in a slightly different direction, but it's all character building for marriage. Ladies, you're going to hear some things that are being directed to the men, but because there is no male or female in the spirit, then we are equally accountable for what we're going to hear. Amen. It's really powerful stuff. I was blown away by it, but we'll see. Praise God. Glory to God. Let's start. We are in our April relationship seminar. If God is shaking your nest, he is preparing you to fly. Get ready to soar. And if you are following God, if God is having his way with his people, we're all going to experience our nests getting shaken right now. Not in fear, not in what's happening in the world, but in our lives. What are we doing? What are our priorities? Where are we headed? How do we feel about family? How are we seeing our ministry? How are we seeing God? How are we seeing the rapture? All of us are getting a little nest, our comfort zone being shaken. Amen. I love this from Ecclesiastes 10:10. If the axe is dull, and in this case, to me, the axe can be your mind, your ability to think. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. What does that mean? We're going to go at life with not a very sharp mind, not a very spiritual acuity. But if we learn and if we grow, then wisdom is going to bring success to us. Because otherwise, you're going to be doing so much more work. Think about chopping a huge tree down and your axe is dull. You're going to be using so much more of your strength. You're going to be working harder with very little results. But if you sharpen the axe, if you sharpen your mind, you're going to have better results. Glory to God. We could go home with that one. Now, this is very powerful, people. God dropped this on me. It is impossible for a person to begin to learn what he thinks he already knows. We cannot approach this teaching or any of the Word of God, people, thinking, oh yeah, he already taught on angels. Oh yeah, I've already taught on relationships. Oh yeah, we're going around the same thing. Yeah, she's telling us to love our wives. Okay, we get it. It is impossible for a person that is thinking that way to begin to learn what he thinks he already knows. And that is, now look at what this says. This pretense, this deception of knowledge is the most dangerous vice. A true learner handles knowledge with humility, and a scribe digs deeper and deeper. Layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. A scribe, I may say, husbands, love your wives, and you're thinking, yeah, okay, I'll work on it. Okay, no problem. I hope I feel love for her so I can, you know, love her. If you were to take love and study it the way God has loved you, so you can now know how to love your wife, women, the way God loves you, so now you can accept the love from your husband, the right kind of love, and then now you'll be able to love the children. You're going to study that for the rest of your life. Love is it, people. Love is your success. The fire that your works will be tested through, it talks about in Timothy, will be done through love, the fire of love. How much of what you did was genuine love for others? Amen? For a believer, it's not only about the pursuit of knowledge, information, and awareness. There must equally be the pursuit of virtue. This is God. Knowledge, virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, virtue. Both go hand in hand. We have a lot of Christians that have a lot of knowledge, but without that character, without the character that virtue brings, we're not able to do the word that we're hearing. We must develop virtue, and we're going to see what it is right now. So, for a believer, it's not only about the pursuit of knowledge, which is information and awareness. There must be equally the pursuit of virtue. And virtue is the behavior showing high moral standards, moral excellence, the essence of which is self-sacrifice. When you're talking about virtue, the key factor here is going to be self-sacrifice. We are called to serve. We are called to lay down our lives. We have got it completely backwards, people. And look at where we are in the state of humanity, because we did not know the things that we're learning right now, right now. Amen? And remember, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who are following after the Spirit and not the flesh. Let's depart from the flesh. Let's no longer build anything on the flesh. Let's go towards the spirit realm. Amen. So virtue is the behavior showing high moral standards, moral excellence, the essence of which is self-sacrifice. If you're a little prima donna, if you're a little prima donno, if you think the world revolves around you, and oh my God, I'm going to read you a quote in a minute that's going to knock everybody out spiritually. But the essence of which is self-sacrifice, which is also the essence of good works. So without this virtue, that's pure character now that we're building, the essence of our good works are always going to be slanted toward our advantage. It's going to be self-centered versus self-sacrifice. That's why we must incorporate virtue into knowledge. I think in sorts, we teach the word, we do it aptly. I mean, we are doing as much as we can to get the word to you, the purest word that we can find. But if we are not careful here, you're going to think, oh, I'm doing good. I go to church most Sundays and sometimes on Wednesday. Sometimes I show up for the little seminars that they're doing. So I know a lot of the word. But without that character, you're going to be slanted. You're going to be off balance. Amen. Virtue is critical. For God, virtue is critical knowledge. When we start learning about character traits, and we're gonna cover five right now, but virtue is critical knowledge in the eyes of God. You've got knowledge like of scriptures and what God is saying, you know, all of those things that are making us disciples. But then there's virtue. What are the character traits that we should be developing? Amen. That's called critical knowledge in the eyes of God. So the first one is prudence. These are five just that I'm throwing together just for you to see some of the things that could, you know, that you could easily go after now. Prudence. Prudence is farsightedness. That means that you can look towards the future. Why? You're looking at consequences. How much did we do in our 20s in psychology? I know people don't agree. Well, one person I know doesn't agree with it, but in psychology, they call them the throwaway years because we don't know who we are. We don't know what we need. We don't know where we're going. We don't know where we stand. None of it. We're just a complete vacuum of information, but we're starting out life. It's understandable. There's no condemnation. But how many decisions did we make that carried consequences to today that we couldn't see? That's prudence. We were lacking prudence. It means caution. It means discretion, having discretion about what you're doing. That means having carefulness about the things you do. Being slow to act, man. Pray, seek God, look up the word on it, you know, and just meditate on what you're about to do. The word wisdom. Wisdom is the skill of godly living. We're not going to live godly lives if we don't have wisdom, people. We cannot be, the opposite of being wise is being a fool. And we see Proverbs and what it says about the fool. The end of the fool is tragic. Amen. So we can't even live godly without wisdom. And then skill to see beyond the surface. Skill to see beyond the surface. You know, let's take a young man. He's at work. Some girl at work starts making a play for him and starts, you know, acting all cute and wanting to get, you know, to get with him. Well, if he's wise, he's going to have the skill to see beyond the surface of this beautiful little girl that's could be great for him and look beyond that surface. What is she really like? What's going on here? You may be encouraged to do a deal. And if you don't have wisdom, you may jump at something that seems really great to you. And then it'll come back and bite you because you did not have the skill to look beyond the surface of the, you know, glamour of this deal. And then it means including knowledge of good and evil. So wisdom is also knowing good and evil. Amen. We must know what is right. We must know what is wrong. Right now, the world is utterly confused, and literally, as the scripture says, they are calling good evil and evil good. I know you can say amen. Sorry. The wind has dried up. I'm healed. And then courage. Courage means to show oneself strong. It means strength of soul. Knowledge of what to fear and what not to fear. First of all, you got to show yourself strong. No matter, even if you're afraid, you got to show up looking strong. And then strength of soul. I mean, how much of a threat can somebody be if they're in the corner crying? I saw this young man, skinnier than a rail. He and his wife, I'm going to say wife because they didn't, define it. She's watching television and he's in another room. And two masked men, huge guys, with automatic rifles, break into their apartment to get to where they are. You have to go up some stairs inside the house, and they're at a loft. And the guy turns around with the gun, and the young man happens to come out at the exact same time. And very calmly, this little skinny rail, he was tall, but these guys were tall and huge. I mean, buffed. Not huge, buffed. The young man grabs the gun and disarms the guy who's here to do harm. You know, he's all psyched out on adrenaline and ready to do whatever he has to do. And the wife turns back when she sees the husband grabbing the gun, takes the gun from the, and the guy's got the gun pointed at the young man when he came out of the, because everything was very close by. Dude, he was able to disarm two strong men that had broken into his house with automatic rifles. I believe that when we show courage, God shows up. I believe that when we faint and go in the corner or try to hide or, oh my God, what are we going to do? God can't show up. Courage is critical. It is part of virtue, people. So courage to show oneself strong. Strength of soul, right here is where you're going to win everything or lose everything. Right here between your two ears. How strong is your soul? How committed are you to overcoming? How committed are you to getting the victory? And then knowledge of what to fear and what not to fear. We need this knowledge right now. We need the virtue of courage because there are some things we should be afraid of and there's some things that we should not be afraid of. Example, fear God, not man or situations. Jesus said, don't be afraid of man who can take your life. Oh, big deal. Be afraid of God. Fear God who can take your life and then cast your soul into hell. People, see, courage will show us, okay, I should not be afraid of that. If anything to do with God, people, we need to reverence. We need to start giving place. We got it all backwards. We're more fearful of man and what they're going to do and, all of this than God. And that's not right. Moderation. This is important. We're going to need moderation more than ever. Let's just say someone is really given to drinking right now. I mean, a lot. Drinking all the time. That lack of moderation is going to affect them when we need to survive, people. When we need to go through some things. We haven't started going through anything yet. But if you don't have that moderation, you're not going to know how to handle situations where you've got to pull back. Moderation means restraint on the passions. Get a hold of those passions. They're going to ruin your chance of really conquering and being victorious. It means general soberness of living. That's moderation. Where you say, you know what? I'm not going to do that too much. That's not going to be good for me. I'm not going to do that too much. That's not going to be good for me. So general soberness of living. And then free from excesses. Excesses. Don't have excesses in your life. Anything that's taking you like where you're becoming obsessed about it, don't. Get a hold of that. Amen? And then knowledge of what to pursue and what to avoid. Amen. Somebody comes up to you and they say, hey, you know, I got this new drug, you know, and you really want to try this. You, this world's going crazy, man. Why even bother? Just check out. It's like, no, the moderation will say, no, you're crossing the line there. Stop. Don't do that. Amen. And then justice. The doing of what positive law demands requires that every person be treated with the same standards, true knowledge of what to give or not to give others, and the right way to handle things. Justice is equity, where you're going to treat people the same. Amen? Everybody deserves respect. Everybody deserves, at least in the beginning, if they quickly show themselves to be harmful or, you know, a poor little fool, then you don't have to. But you start off with the attitude, amen, of, you know what, I'm not going to look down at that person over there. I'm not going to look down at that person over there. We give people justice, amen, because God certainly gives us justice. So we should all keep learning to the end of our life. We should never stop striving to not only know more, but to become better, wiser, and more virtuous individuals. So learn, keep learning. I beg you to keep learning. Like I share with the women, men, at the women's seminar, if you're in a place right now that's not right, in a place where you're not flourishing, in a place where you know it's not the will of God for you, the only way out of that place is to learn your way out of that place. You can't be lazy and expect change. You've got to learn. You've got to learn that particular thing, that obstacle that's in your way. You're going to find out, if you're completely honest, that many times the obstacle is you. You're your own obstacle to proceed forward. Amen. So we want to become not only wiser, but better and more virtuous individuals. Amen. If I were to ask you, I mean, honestly, for me, I mean, knowledge is critical, obviously, but if you don't have virtue, that knowledge is a waste in the eyes of God. Truly. I'm serious. Because it is through virtue that you do the word, that character that you're building, that moderation. Like, let's say you heard about walking in love and stop strife, stop the strife. Well, that moderation, that virtue that you're increasing in your life is going to say, no, draw the line. Moderation draws a line. And you're going to say, no, I'm not going to go any further. No, I'm going to do the word. And moderation will pull you back. These powerhouses right here, people, will help us do the word. Amen. God knows that the worst pain a person can suffer is to have insight into much and power over nothing. I'm going to read that again. This is intense. God knows that the worst pain a person can suffer, the internal conflict, the angst, the anxiety, the stress that we go through, is to have insight into much and power over nothing. Here we go back to knowing knowledge and not having the virtue, the character to bring that word to pass. Amen? Glory to God. You know, me, front of the line. We need to drop some weight. We need to get a little more healthy. I know I could write a book now on health and nutrition and diet and exercise and all of that. What am I lacking? I'm lacking virtue, moderation, courage. All of those things will start helping you do the word. So if you want something you have never had, men, if you want a great marriage, if you want your woman you love her so much that she kisses you and you swoon and she swoons, where you want this relationship, man, God can turn anything around. Remember the Resurrection Sunday. He can resurrect any marriage from the dead. Amen. Any relationship, any marriage, any family, any child-parent relationship, all of it. But if you want something you have never had, something that God is his will and you've never and really truly known it, you must be willing to do something you have never done. You're going to have to step out of the little pool that you're in and take off into the river of life, because you're stuck. And that's why nothing's changing. And God wants the very best for you. He wants you to love him so much because he's so good to you. Amen? Glory to God. But God brings hope and help. Amen, men. Even the smallest amount of help can give you enough light during your darkest days. So stay strong during this difficult time. And we're going through a difficult time, people, all of us. We are being pressed down. The olives are in the olive press. And we are being pressed down. And whatever's inside of us is what's coming out. Amen? So during your darkest days. So stay strong during these difficult times. Because darkness is only temporary. And you will see brighter days again. I believe that with God, people. I don't know what's going to happen. Anything can happen in the next day, in the next hour, in the next half hour, the way things are going. But you know what? I know and trust my God that no matter what happens, there's going to be a brighter day. Even if we all just get raptured, seriously, or we end up crossing over because they do something, we're going to see the brighter day. We cannot lose our hope. Amen? Fear not. This is God talking to you, men. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. That word dismayed means anxiously look around you. Where are you, God? What am I doing? Why is nothing working? So fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10, and I love this picture. That's how you are with God, men. I mean, you could be 90 and you're still that little cub compared to God and what he knows and his strength and his abilities, all of that. But he's right there with you, watching over you, protecting you. And look at this. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to help you. And he's going to uphold you. You're not going to fall down. You're not going to fail. Amen? Praise God. He who believes in me, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being will flow continually rivers of living water. You may feel like your life is as dry as the Sahara Desert. You may feel like there's nothing but endless sand and the scorching sun, and there's nothing growing in your life. But God says that if you can trust in him, if you can rely on him, then he promises through his word. This is a promise right here, people, that from your innermost being will flow continually rivers of living water. You're going to start watering your land, your life, your relationships, all of that. God can turn anything around. I'm sorry. If you disagree with this, you're too late. Because Bill and I lost our marriage at least 3 times. I've been very honest about it. Where there was nothing. I mean nothing whatsoever. Had either one of us walked away, the other one would have gone, phew, the nightmare is over. But we hung in there. We hung in there. Our problem was Bill was 20. He literally turned 22 on the day we got married, people. That's very young. He was 21. 21 when I met him. That's the beginning of the throwaway years. I was 24 going on 15. I mean, seriously, we were two of the most dense, you know, we were not very wise about anything. So we went into life. We got pregnant right away. We ended up going into ministry when we were still in Europe. We were already starting to minister. And we never got a chance to grow up or mature, but it caught up to us. And that's when we started losing the marriage twice. And then by the third time, we're like, you know what? We know better now. Now we've got to do what we know. It took some years, but we did it. Amen. And let me tell you, what God builds always takes time. He never goes like this and, oh, look at me. I'm a wonderful minister. I'm perfect. Or look at our family. It took half an hour for God to make us great. No, You're going to go through the work, and you're going to get virtue, and you're going to get knowledge, and then you're going to put it to work. That's the way of God, people. What we're learning here is the way we should have done it all along. No condemnation. Ministers weren't teaching it. Had they taught Bill and I? Oh my God. But nobody was teaching us. We didn't know it, but guess what? Somehow we stumbled into it. I'll share that with you shortly. What does the Bible say about being a godly man? In Christ, you are who he says you are. You're not who your wife says you are. You're not who your kids say you are. You're not who your friends say you are. You're not who you say you are. In Christ, you are who he says you are. You have what he says you have. And you can do what he says you can do. Believe him and talk in the light of who you are in Christ, and you will walk in the reality of who you are now in Christ. Let me tell you, when you take off all the shackles of all your little identifications that you've got going, oh, I'm this, I'm that, I can do this, I can do that, and strip yourself of all of that and just say, God, who did you make me to be and what am I? When you start, like, for one, you are the head of your entire family, of your household. You're the leader. You're the overseer. You're God's under ruler. That's a fact. And when you start embracing that by faith, you're going to start walking in it. You're going to start talking it. You know what? I am the head of this family. You know what? God has called me to be his under ruler. That means I have work to do here. He's commissioned me to get some very powerful things done. And our men are praying up a storm and they're turning things around, people. I feel it. They're literally pushing, like in the Roman soldiers, you know, their shields, they were the size of men's bodies, but they had hooks in the end where they could hook to one another and they would build walls and then they would push each other. The row next to, behind the first row was pushing the first row and strengthening them, and the third row, the second row, and so on. And they moved, and when they did, they would grunt as powerful warriors, you know, inspiring themselves. That's who you are. The men of this church in their prayer time are pushing back the darkness. I can hear the battle cry, people. I'm seeing the difference spiritually. It's going to take an effect in our homes for sure. God is going to be able to move in our homes for sure. A true biblical family, father is the cover. Man, you are the cover of your home. Well, I don't feel much like the cover. You know, I'm a little worried. I'm a little afraid. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. Go to God and say, Father, if I'm the cover, you show me. I want to learn from the best. What does the cover look like? Mother is the heart. We are the atmosphere, the calm in the storm, the peace, the gentleness, the kindness. That's what we are, women, in the home. We set that atmosphere. When there's strife anywhere, you nip it in the bud right away and you say, stop that. In this house, we do not fight. In this house, we do not fight one another. And you fight to keep the calm, the peace, the joy, the love, the affection, all of that, women. And then Jesus is our foundation. We're building on him now. Amen. There's 20 of you here with more people in your family. We are now building our house on God, on Jesus. Amen. We're going to turn over everything and just trust God with the new. He's bringing in the new. I love this. Somebody chiseled this and it's like a statue, a display. But I love this so much. It is beautiful to me. And it says, building to last. And then look at this scripture. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And it's not talking about your physical house, and that's what we've majored. If I can provide the biggest, the best, then I am the best. And we're going to find out, people, it's a little bit different in God's eyes. Unless the Lord is building your house, he's giving you the virtues, he's giving you the direction, the scriptures, the promises, the hopes, the love, then you're laboring in vain. Amen? It's not going to last, I will tell you. And you'll constantly build up and then do something and it collapses. Constantly build up and then it collapses. Remember what I told you? I've always told you this, Swords. God showed me many, 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 many years ago. He said, Eva, how long? Because we were driving down the street and I saw someone literally with a big, huge box, like from a refrigerator or something. And they were homeless and they were setting it up, you know. And I looked at him and I had compassion. But the Lord said, he asked me, he goes, how long do you think that takes them to build? And I'm like, God, maybe 5-10 minutes. And then he said, do you remember the castles, some of the castles you saw in Spain? There was one castle from the 400s people and it was still almost completely intact. But the walls were 6, sometimes in other places, 10 feet wide. They took centuries to build a castle, but it's standing up like they just built it. What are you going to build? Are you going to build something really quick and hastily with what you little you know? When you maybe you were 20 when you got married, or 30, or maybe 40. Now people, it's awesome, 50, 60. What are you going to build? Something that's going to, the first wind that comes and your little cardboard shack falls apart? That's why marriages stop, people. It's the building materials you used. It's not the other person. This didn't work because of them. No. I'm going to read to you an accountability thing right now that's going to, I think people are going to pass out. I'm telling you. But isn't this a beautiful picture, people? I love this picture. That's Pastor Bill and Eva and Pastor Eva. That's how we are basically now. That's how we see each other. We're very tender with each other. You know, yes, it's who we are. Every single motivation of God has always been family. He yearned for a family of his own, so you were created. Please understand that you are not a mistake. Why was I born? I don't even belong here. For the very first reason God wanted you born is so that you could come into the earth and then make the decision to become his child. You're not automatically his child. Amen. He wanted you. He had to have you be born here. Amen. And then you are his child and never will you be a stranger to him. Some people think that God forgot about me. God doesn't know me. God doesn't care. God will never forget about you. Never. He created you and he took his time and he was delighted. He formed you in your mother's womb, people. And then God is the original man. Amen. Always remember that. Now, the reason I'm including this, I'm building layer upon layer. I try to change the wording. Sometimes I even go after different pictures, but I'm laying down the foundation. You've got to understand something. If this is correct and God is the original family man, and that's why he does everything that he does, because he wants to fill heaven with his family, with his people that choose him, then we need to realize how serious family is to him. We need to realize that he doesn't take it lightly when we are forsaking the people in our very own homes. He doesn't like it when we start thinking about divorce. Been there, done that. Although it did happen for me before I got born again. But people, if family really is that important to God, then you better realize, please, now, that this is important, that you start building your family right, because we're going to give account to God about our families. We are. You're going to walk up there with each one of your children and give an account as to what you did with them. Amen? Now, the good thing is, people, all of us have that relative or that person in our home, a child, a sibling in our clan that's not walking with God. Never let go. Never stop believing God. It's never too late to do the right thing. Amen? So we're still in time. We're still here. We haven't crossed over. Once you cross over, all your labor, all your building, everything will be done, people. This huge chapter of your life will be closed, but you still have time to reverse some things in your life with your loved ones. Amen? God created family because he loves. Say that with me. Because he loves. A person given over to love yearns. They yearn to have people to bestow that love upon. Man, when you're a person that loves, you just are like a river, and this love has to go somewhere. You want to direct it to that person and that person, and there's more river, and you want to give it to that person. You want to just keep loving. He knows why he created family. He knows how family should function. He knows the beautiful, meaningful, and deep fulfillment that family was meant to bring and can bring. So he is once again giving us all this amazing information so we can still fulfill his great and good will in our homes. Amen. He gave it to Adam. Adam fell, and we lost all of the wisdom of God that God imparted into him. We have to start rebuilding from scratch with God. Amen. So he's giving it to us once again. I'm so honored that he's doing that with us, people. Therefore, we will go to learn from him who loves so perfectly. Oh, I can't wait to see the Father interacting with his Son, and then how they're going to interact with us, people. If you've listened to Pastor's message on the book of Revelations, when he talks about the square, that God will sit on his throne in the open square, and Jesus will be walking around the billions of us. Amen. It's going to be amazing, people. It's all family. You're not going to be a stranger there. You're going to be loved by everyone and everyone. For those of you that never have had a real family, maybe growing up you didn't have a real family, or a very dysfunctional family, or maybe now you're experiencing that in your own home, understand that you have the most beautiful, perfect family waiting for you, where we will love one another. I already have people. I pray with a lot of people, and I interact with people all around the world. And I have people tell me all the time, I'm going to look you up when I get up there. I am going to go to your house. And I'm so excited about it, people. I'm all getting looking forward to seeing all these people that we were kindred spirits and we connected. Amen. Glory to God. Husband's first calling is to love as Christ loves. I will never stop repeating that. A sure sign of a man's strength. Now listen carefully. A sure sign of a man's strength is how gently he loves his wife. Only a man that's truly strong can be gentle, people. I'm serious. A person that's weak always has to be proving themselves. I am strong. I'm too strong for that. I can't be affectionate. I can't be touching people and demonstrating my love. But when you're truly strong, you can be gentle. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't threaten you. It's a beautiful combination. Amen? Oh, I know this is good. In the same way, this is 1 Peter 3:7. In the same way, you husbands live with your wives in an understanding way, with great gentleness and tact. Don't be tacky. Don't be vulgar. Don't be crass. And, you know, don't always be joking with your wife. Every once in a while, look at her straight in the eyes and tell her you love her. Amen? But with great gentleness and tact, and with an intelligent regard for the marriage relationship. I love that so much. With an intelligent regard. Realize, when I love my wife, I'm strengthening our marriage. We are building something beautiful. When your wife walks away from you after you've kissed her, and kissed her like a man, not like a grandpa, a little peck like that, oh my gosh, that's a no-go. That does not work. I'm serious. It's a big, I'm going to say it's a big turnoff for women when you kiss her like a peck. No, kiss her like a man with his woman, We're forever young in God, amen? So when you kiss her like that and she walks away all happy and secure and you've ministered to her and you've loved her, dude, you just laid a huge brick on the foundation of your marriage. That's how it's done. Amen? It's done in action. Love is always about action. You got to have deeds. So, intelligent regard for the marriage relationship, as with someone physically weaker, since she is a woman. Show her honor and respect as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered or ineffective. Oh, this is so precious to me, people. You can't say, you know, my wife, oh, I've heard it. I'm just going to say it how I've heard it. My wife is stupid. It's very hard to honor her. It's very hard to respect her. Do you know that you have the power to destroy whatever destroyed her? You have the power to help her step out of her past that made her the way she is. God did that with you. You were in the mire. You belong to the devil. And God started speaking to you and saying, you are my child. You are co-heirs with my son. You belong in heaven with me. You are my under ruler when you didn't deserve any of it. So when you start speaking to your wife in respect and honor, honey, that was really good. I love what you did there. Honey, that's strong. You just did something really strong. Start building her up so that she can step out of that garment of the past that she's carrying. Amen? So, and also, you're going to be fellow heirs of the grace of life, and that your prayers will not be hindered. You don't want your prayers to be hindered in this day and hour, people. You don't, male or female. Glory to God. Learn to love. It's why we're here. That's the truth. You're here for a reason. Learn to love. It's why you are here. I love these quotes. Educating the mind without educating the heart is no education at all. Without love, living is doable, but it's also meaningless. It's empty. Life without love is empty. Let's do the last one. To love someone is nothing. To be loved by someone is something. To love someone who loves you is everything. If you have someone in your life that loves you and you love them, you have everything. Everything. I would want that, and I'd give up a home, a house, a car, jewelry, all of that stuff to have genuine love. The kind of love, oh my God, people, that rocks our world. Absolutely. To love someone who loves you is everything. I don't have that. I don't have everything then. Then start working. Start working. God gave you the blueprint. You're the master builder, you and your husband. Start building. Husband's second calling is to be the protector. Man is a protector. Man as the protector is a twofold mission. He's a natural protector and he's a spiritual protector. As the natural protector, I love this picture and this quote. A man should understand he doesn't protect his wife because she is weak. He protects her because she is important. She is important. If that woman has given you children, she better be important to you. She's helping you continue your lineage. Did you know? Well, I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to ruffle that feather. But he protects her because she's important. Don't look at your wife and say, oh my God, I'm going to have to put myself in harm's way now for you. No. It's like, dude, stand back. I got to protect this woman. She's important to me. Glory to God, people. We're important to God, so he protects us. Amen? Oh, praise God. Men are God's protection over women. I love this. Look at that. How beautiful. And that's how we feel with men. When you hug us, when you embrace us. And again, none of this, you know, holding us like, okay, I'll do it. And you're leaning back and she's trying to get close to you. No, lean into her. Just cover her with your arms. Amen. Let her feel the security that you're providing from the inside out. And then I love this little quote. Look at those birds. Oh, dear God. God loves birds, people. The sparrow. Father, help us to be the friend who shelters another when the storms in life come. That's how we're supposed to be. Going back and forth, people. Protecting one another. When the stuff, when life gets hard on your partner, be that person with the umbrella. Shelter them from the storm that's hitting them. Amen. Glory to God. The spiritual protector. So now we're coming to the spiritual protector, and we're going to camp out this here for a little while. And let me see just real quickly. He is the protector of he's the spiritual protector of the home. And this is where we departed. The loving part, we kind of get. We sometimes go to little classes before you get married. And during the vows, they mention marriage. I mean, love in the marriage, all of that. So we kind of get that. But in this part, and then the physical part, it's obvious. Any man that doesn't understand that he should seek to protect his wife in the natural, physically, he's not from this planet. That's intuitive what a man does. But now the spiritual protector, we're going to start learning some very heavy duty things. Oh. Sometimes you have to leave people. This is talking about when you start, men, really going after God, when you depart and say, you know what? I'm picking up this mantle. I believe what God is sending me right now in the word of God. It makes sense to me. We're divided in our home. We're kind of going in different directions, everybody. And God told us in the very beginning, remember the prophecy I read to you when we were meeting here in our house, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So God is trying to fortify us so we can make it together. Amen. So sometimes, men, you have to leave people behind. If they choose to take the right path, they will catch up. But never go down the wrong path with them. Now, this is very important. Please understand what I'm saying here. When you start walking after God, men, it's almost going to feel like you've thrown everybody off. And in a weird way you have. Because you have to be able to stand between you and God alone and go at this together. You and Him. Amen? You're going to kind of go underground with God. So He can start building you up spiritually, and you're going to emerge, I would say, as the new creation, big time. Amen? So, if when you start taking off, your wife might go, oh my God, what are you doing? Oh my God, you're being so weird. You never were like this before. It's okay. Let her speak up. This is between you and God. It has nothing to do with the wife. This is about you becoming the man of God He created you to be. Amen? So sometimes you have to leave people behind. If they choose to take the right path, they will catch up. Your wife will catch up. Let me tell you something. There was a few times, never about serving God, never about getting in the Word, going to church, walking with God, praying, never. Bills never, ever, ever had to tell me to do that. I did that all on my own. I love God probably more, and if not as much as Bill does. We're equally yoked that way. But there was a few times that there would be a requirement of me spiritually. And man, he was taking off. He was gone. He was doing it. And then I would go, where's Bill? Oh my God, he's really doing it. And I'd have to run to catch up. I always catched up. I always caught up to him. Amen. So what happens? Look at Adam and Eve. What happened with Adam and Eve? This is terrible. With Adam and Eve, Adam followed Eve. And where did that end us all? The entire human race. And then Lot and his wife. God is destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. The angel tells them, do not look back. And you know what? She looked back and Lot kept going. I will say this once for the men and then once for the women. Don't ever go to hell for anyone. Tell yourself that. I'm not going to hell for anyone. You keep walking with God. And the people that are your tribe, the kindred spirits, the people of God that are around you are going to keep going with you. I would never, if Bill decided to, he never would, let me tell you a billion times over, but if Bill ever decided to rebel against God and go against God, I would keep going without him, without him. I would pray because we are connected. I would keep praying for him, but I wouldn't skip a beat. I would keep going. And I can guarantee you a million, trillion, billion percent that Bill would do the same thing for me. He would just keep going. I'm sorry, baby. And he would tell us. Bill put everything on the line. Everything to follow God. That's what we all have to do. Oh, my God. We have time. Okay, everybody brace yourselves because I'm going to read something that's going to rock all of us. This applies to men and women, but right now we're talking to the men. Oh my God, this is so intense, people. This scared me straight. It scared me straight. A narcissist wants the authority of a king while having the accountability of a toddler. Isn't that good, Pastor?
It is.
I love this quote. A narcissist wants the authority of a king. I'm the head of this house, and by God, you're going to listen to me. What I say goes. Oh, my God. The last generation was just like that. My dad's generation. I am the man here, and you're going to listen to me. Everybody bow. What I say is the law. It's the rule of law here. Well, a narcissist wants the authority of a king while having the accountability of a toddler. What does that mean? That we want the position, but no accountability for our own person, for our own actions. Remember I told you, you must be an example, men, for the woman to follow. Remember what I told you, women. You must be an example so the children can follow. I see it. It's like the law of sowing and reaping. It's the law of gravity. When the parents are weak spiritually, the entire family is weak spiritually. If you go to church and whenever you feel like it, all your kids are going to turn out that way. It's accountability. So this is man's case with God. Man wants to be the head. Oh, man really likes that position. They really do. Man wants to be the head, the ruler, and receive all of God's blessings, but not wanting to be truly accountable to God, nor to his wife, nor to his family. He basically wants the position and do whatever he wants. That's been the general rule for mankind. And then the same with women. We want to be loved completely, provided for, protected, receiving God's blessings, but we don't really want to be accountable to God, nor to our husband, nor to our family. I'm going to read this one more time. I want this to get into all of us, in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. A narcissist wants the authority of a king while having the accountability of a toddler. That speaks for itself. Why would any decent believer even struggle choosing and trusting God's word over this world? The right way or the wrong way? I'm going to play for you one little thing, and it's just barely touched an hour, so it's like 2 minutes long, but I'm going to end with this, because we're going to start talking about the man being very present in his home, but the way God's called you to be. There are some men that are so well-intended, and they bend over backwards for their family, for their clans. They do everything they can for everybody. But that's not necessarily what God's called us to do. God has a very simple, doable way for the man to be there and have an impact like nobody's business. Let me play this. This is pretty intense, guys. But you know me. Let me make sure. Okay. We're talking about the man being present in his own home. Okay.
One night I come home. I was sitting there and my wife said, "Andy, we've learned to live without you. Like, me and the kids live without you." And dude, first I get defensive. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, "Babe, look at the house. I mean, look at where we live. Look at your car. Look at all this stuff." She goes, "Andy, you're in the pictures, okay? But you don't remember being there. You were at work. You were in the pictures, but you weren't here. Your mind was still at work." My idea of success was providing for my family. Okay, dude, that's not success. That is not success.
It's what a lot of men think.
Yeah, it's not. It's one area that's important, okay? You think coming in and "Hey, babe, love you," and then sitting on the couch and high-fiving the kids is the man we want? Are you serious? And, dude, I'm telling you, dude, I broke down. I felt like I'd been deceived. So you know what I did? I went in the garage, got pissed off, shaved my freaking head, worked out for 4 hours. I thought that the paycheck was the value I was as a man. Okay, and you know what I realize? Dude, I need a change.
It's very important for me to say this. We are learning. God is literally going to overthrow a system that is cursed, that we all went into. I have nothing but compassion for our men. And if anything, until we got this information, we're getting this information, you did your best to be a great provider. But in God's mind, it's a completely different picture, people. I once met a man. I was working for this corporate computer company. This is when they were barely starting out in the 90s. And it was a beautiful office full of marble and everything. And this man ended up having cancer. He was like maybe 61. And he had two beautiful little boys and a wonderful, beautiful wife. And the people that he worked with asked him, "Do you have any advice for us?" Because it was stage 4 and they couldn't help him and all of that. And he did end up dying. But like a week before he died, he put something together for everybody. And I will never forget what he said. He said, "The chiefest thing I mourn is all those 60-hour weeks that I worked and was not home. With the one thing that I'm regretting now that I'm leaving behind." The only thing that mattered when he was crossing over was his family, his wife, his children. Not the job. Not that he wasn't going to keep climbing the ladder. Are you kidding me? When you are about to die, none of that matters. It doesn't even register in the equation. You are thinking about those people that God gave you that really don't know you. That wife, that man walked in that night and she said, "We have learned to live without you." How many families are not like that? And again, men, I love you so dearly and so much. You didn't know. We didn't know. It wasn't being taught. So now we're learning it the right way. No condemnation, but we're going to turn this upside down for God. Amen? Our marriages, our families are going to shine for the Lord. Let's show this world God's system and how beautiful and simple it is. Amen? Glory to God, people. I love you so much. Thank you for joining us.